back home stuff, and that he will tell you next week the change should be made, and understands that January 19th, and that we will work out on that. Bush is, he's gonna be fun to work with.
Oh.
He's smart. He is, because, you know, you can level it, you don't have to dissemble, you can tell him what the problem is, and
How we try to level with the goddamn goal.
Yeah, but, find a counter interest here, Bush won't. Bush will.
Yeah, there you go. It's alright.
If you ask Bush, call Bush up and say, George, you gotta get out now, we gotta put another chairman in, and say, fine, what that? Who do you want?
His whole conduct is almost that of a man's office rocker.
Well, I think he is a little office rocker, I've felt that all along.
No, but we felt that kind of time in the campaign, that there's a metal problem.
Yeah. May not be. No, I think Bob, he is, you know, that overriding sarcasm, and just everything's negative. He sees everything from a negative viewpoint. But Dole said he got, I mean, Bush said he got into it, all that, and Mitchell put me in some more too. I talked to him again later. And so Dole's totally sold on Bush. Thinks that'll be great, wants to, you know, make that the most positive kind of move and all that sort of things. I don't think we
will announce the next question.
Yeah.
You be sure to go forward with you on the California party, because I've got to get things set up at the White House on that Tuesday for a half hour. I learned they were in town and I'm coming. I'm going to be here for, I'll arrange to be here and then have the helicopter roll up and wheel out and I'll get the hell out of there. Shake all their hands. Thank them very much for the people that brought me where we are. I wish Bob Finch the best. How's that sound?
Great. I have one request added to that. I'd be permitted to accompany you to Camp David. I'd like to be able to walk out of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
I sure don't want to sit there with those people.
No. I think it's bad for you to sit there.
It is. It's very.
Ehrlichman, too.
Yeah, well, Ehrlichman isn't a Californian. I don't think they've got him tied in, but they do have me tied in. That's one of the honorees, not just that guy with the audio.
They're not honoring. They don't have a...
No, they're honoring Fred Malik and...
You know, Mallet wouldn't take the GSA, which I think is the most ridiculous goddamn thing I ever heard of.
Well, I don't think he will. He's
hell of a job
working on that. I've talked to him today.
It's such a retired Rumsfeld. There's one other job that you could give him, and that's that damn Louis Dior job. Remember that one?
Yeah.
There are two that I can play around with.
Schlesinger came in, brought his paper, you know, that you asked him to do. He's going to be a good man, I think. He said, let me say something, because I don't know if the president understood it clearly. I understand what he's talking about here, and I would love to do it. I would also love to say, as chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, I can do a hell of a good job there. There's a lot of things there, so don't think there's any entanglement. If you want whatever you want me to do, I will be delighted to do. Secondly, you talked about the DIA, and he said, you can cut that 85%. You've got to maintain, or it would be wise to maintain a defense by an intelligence capability for the chief, if that's all you need.
Yeah.
And I will move on to the rest of it.
Must be a little faster. Now that is, we should go on alone. Test our prisoners for withdrawal and let them continue fighting. I think they have to get it into their heads that in that case, the Congress, no matter what you intend to do, the North Vietnamese will demand cutting off military and economic aid as a price for that.
What the hell are they going to shoot? They won't have any bullets.
Well, the idea is we continue to give aid, and they'll fight alone. But tell them that the Congress will be
killed. You must say that you reported to me. I'm not going to listen.
kid at the palace, a 30-year-old suitor who's acting out of Wagnerian drama. I mean, I must say, when I went through the agreement this morning, I told Haig afterwards, when you listen to these guys, you begin to doubt your sanity.
No, it's a good agreement.
But it's
a good agreement. And frankly, you go ahead with the North Vietnamese, and we will cut off the United States. I think, of course, it means that everything we bought for is lost.
Well, we can trust my countries, too.
I think Duck understands it.
Well, Duck understands it. And the ambassador understands it.
After what I put him through, Carson.
The president, you gave an absolutely magnificent presentation.
Did you do any good?
You could not have.
Did you do any good?
Oh, no. I've dealt with these guys. They're going to wait till a minute before midnight.
Well,
I mean, this is a lot better than the...
And you make the deal on Saturday and sign, and then what happens? You come back here again to what?
And then we'll have to put it to them and say this is
it. Well, come back here and put it to them and say, do you want me to meet with the president or not?
That's right.
Is that what you say? For purposes of agreement that we're going ahead on this without economic assistance.
Well, I've seen the North Vietnamese Monday, they are having a message for us now, too. Maybe they are going crazy. They're both nuts. I mean, that's the trouble with these Vietnamese.
That's right. Don't worry, Mr. Johnson. They'll be here. They'll be here.
And that's the thing,
you know. You think the North, I guess the North Vietnamese can just break off and go shoot. No, they
can't. Why don't they can't, but we've been playing with fire ever since we had this goddamn agreement with these two maniacal parties. You want them to see it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've been doing a lot of talking and arguing with money. Sit down.
I've already reported to the president the substance of our conversation.
Engagement.
said nothing. Thank you. And then, we can do our best. Now, hoping that the United States might take retaliatory action in case of the Paris ceasefire. So, President Thiel feels that in this context, this constitutes already a very severe handicap for South Vietnam because of the temptation of bombing and mining. At this time, it is the bombing, the mine, which helped to establish the military balance. Too, we are not unaware that the stopping of these things would be very serious for us. Therefore, President Thieu would be valued very highly if you could help in order to find some way, not necessarily exactly the Myanmar solution as it stands now, but it could be feasible, but something along these lines, so that we can find a way out of this very difficult situation, other than just the two options which I have presented to you.
Well, here's the situation that I see as an investor, and which you are your colleague, should convey to President Chu. I met with the Joint Chiefs this morning for 2 hours. I went over the agreement with them. They were unanimous. Generally, it was particularly strong. But there is no question whatever but that not only do we have one, but a half dozen legal reasons to respond in the event there is any breach of the ceasefire or any step up of infiltration. I mean, the Cambodian Laotian provision. Precedent particularly. The provisions with regard to violation of the DMZ impress them very much. They also have the intelligence capability, and they think it's better than what Dr. Kitchen indicated. They think that anything over 1,000 they can find, which of course would be a violation. As you know, any personnel, introduction of personnel, is a violation on our part or on the enemy's in the same. Responses that will go beyond what we have done previously. I'm give, and which is the main point of all this exercise. I've got to have, I can act strongly, provided we have appeared to be reasonable in negotiating a ceasefire, the return of our prisoners, and a political settlement, which people here at least are convinced provides for the right of the people of South Vietnam to return to the future, and the right of the present government to stay in power, which it does. So we face this point that I will, I'm going to write the instructions out. Instructions will tell him to negotiate as hard as he can on the points that remain, but within the framework of what is negotiable. I mean, if you know what I mean, we can talk about the fact that we should start all over and go over every phrase and change this, and that is not going to happen that way. I don't want to mislead you. I don't want to confuse you to think that we're going to reopen all these things. There are some things that I have already been indicated that are still subject to negotiation.
What I told him last night.
What you went through last night, that's right. I got that problem here. As far as over. And those points, we will negotiate hard on in the very best possible deal that we can. When those negotiations are completed, that will be it. Then, what I would like to do, I think it would be a very proper thing to do, so that the interpretation of the agreement is put out our way and your way. And what I suggested, Dr. Kessinger, is that President Chu and I then meet at Midway, and that we sit down, not to discuss, not to negotiate anymore, because two presidents shouldn't haggle over the agreement. It's too late. That should be done at this point. And you will be consulted all the way along. But at Midway, I will then have the opportunity to give him the personal assurance, which he ought to hear directly from me, about continued U.S. support, military and economic, but more important, my personal assurance that in the event that the agreement is broken, the United States will retaliate. When he hears that from me, and then we can interpret the agreement with the world's press looking on, we will have struck the blow that will be effective. That will be done before we would then have to go to Hanoi and get them.
He couldn't interpret the agreement yet at that point, but we can do it right
after. But I mean, the point is, President Chu and I will determine what the interpretation is going to be.
Exactly.
So that we both have the same line, and it will be the right line. And I put the chief's in line here. That is the better way to proceed. Now, if on the other hand, we totally understand, if President Chu, after all these years we've been allies, after all of our suffering, together, after all of our sacrifices, if he decides that he doesn't trust my judgment, you know, no man is altogether wrong. I'm wrong sometimes. No man's altogether right. I'm right sometimes. On this, I have studied it. I know the communists. I don't trust him any more than he does. I know what is politically possible, what is not politically possible. And I have determined that this course of action is one we have to take. You, of course, must represent your president. But I, of course, must speak honestly to you. You wouldn't want me to speak any other way. And I'm speaking candidly and honestly to you. So we're going to go forward. The agreement will be reached. It'll be the best possible agreement we can get. And then, at that point, I would think right then we should move. And I'm keeping my schedule free. I would meet with President Chu, and I give him the personal assurance, which he needs to hear. And then we determine the line that we're going to take with regard to the agreement. And we'll do exactly the same thing, and we'll do everything here that will be helpful. We'll say the things here that will be helpful in Saigon, and he should say the things there that will be helpful then. Then after that, the agreement would be signed. Probably on the date, the latest is the 22nd of December. I would hope the 21st, that's my preferred date. But the 22nd is the latest it can be signed. Now, I understand him, and I respect it. I don't agree with it. I think it would be a tragic mistake. Now, after all of these years, says, in effect, and this is what he's going to be saying if he doesn't want to go along, with what is the best, my best judgment, and the best deal we can get, he would be saying, I don't want any more economic aid. I want all the Americans to leave. I don't want any military aid. I want no assurance that in the event the North Vietnamese come in massively, I will hurt. That's the choice. He shouldn't do that. He should not do that. And I'm simply stating the fact. That's where it is. I say this fact with great reluctance. Great reluctance. If I were a dictator, I could speak differently, but I'm not. I have a Congress. It's a Democratic Congress. That Congress will go over its own very far with me, over its better judgment, because I've always said that President Jew was a reasonable man, that we perceived the peace that we thought was right. But in the event that we get this kind of an agreement, the kind with the improvements that I think that are in the ballpark, and it'll be that much, but it will not be more than that. When we get that kind of an agreement, then if South Vietnam refuses to go on, then what happens is that the aid stops. I would, in the light of that, the congressional leaders have to meet with me immediately. It would be a major crisis. We have to face up to it. And there'd be no way we can convince them. No way at all. I would be less than honest if you were not to know this, because I could sit here and say, well, since President Chu says that he doesn't, will not go along, or does not, would prefer that we go our own way and he'll go his way, with the hope that we can continue to provide military back and say, well, I respect that and I'll try to get it out of the Congress. I can't even try, because I know the Congress. I've already been told by, not the does, but the hawks, that they won't provide it. So you see, that's where we are. We don't. We face a fact. We don't face what they were here. And the fact is that that we now, and I would hope that this week, that we'd all work together, pull a tandem together, get the very best possible agreement we can, and then that agreement is obtained, we go forward. If we do go forward, then the economic assistance, military assistance, and my personal commitment for retaliation, which the Joint Chiefs of Staff will back, and they have a plan ready for it. You have all that. That's one choice. And the other is to say, well, because we don't like this, there's certain fundamental points in the agreement, which I think can be rationalized, justified properly, we make a separate peace in effect with North Vietnam, and you will want to continue the war, then it would be with great reluctance that I would have to say that our assistance is no longer available. That's where it's at. So I think he ought to, so we just know what the choices are. It's not mine, but we've got the Congress, and they've told me, and I cannot convince them on that. I cannot convince them, particularly in view of the fact that the agreement that we have is the one. I don't think it's any necessity to repeat. I've repeated this several times. You repeated your comments as you should and as I should. But now we understand each other. I would hope that you would convey this message to President Chu, knowing that I would look forward to his meeting at Midway. And then I also like the idea of a later meeting with the Asian heads of government that she's proposed. That's a very good suggestion, and I'd be prepared to participate in that, provided it came by before the 5th of January. It'd have to be right after the new year. But on the other hand, the choice is for us to go along, which we're prepared to do. Not by choice, reluctantly. I think we can work it out, together, and do the very best we can. I would think the President Xi would have enough confidence and trust in me, and everything that I've done in the past, that he would say, well, I have doubts about this, or that, or the other thing, but what really counts.
and BIG, the provisional provisional government have these words that must be
Mr. President, the situation is this. We can get them out of the text of the agreement. The issue now is should they be in the preamble. I told Mr. Duke we'd make a major effort to get them out of the preamble, too. The trouble is we have to get from the Vietnamese side what their priorities are. We cannot get all 3 points. If they tell us which of them is most important, then we can trade some of the others.
Give us the points in order, priority, then you know what to get harvest on, you know.
It's out of the text of the agreement now. The only place it is now...
Well, in the operating portions of the agreement, it does not exist.
It does not. It exists only... It's not agreed to. But the only... They've already agreed to delete it from the text. So the only question is, should it be in the preamble? Which, in fact, can be detached from the agreement. There's nothing in the preamble that's operative.
Seems to me if the word is mentioned once, they could claim that it is a recognition error, but there are two governments in South Vietnam, and that's it's very serious.
I understand that.
Well, we would put out a separate statement to the effect that we do not recognize two governments in South Vietnam.
Oh, yes. You...
That's what we will do.
You...
Our government will make a unilateral statement to the effect that we do not recognize two governments in South Vietnam. We don't. Your government is the only government we recommend, and that we so interpret the agreement. That's what we would say. I mean, everybody has his own interpretation, but that's what we would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that we do not accept the kind of condition that's seen in the days and in the they have what we call the historical record and interpretive clauses. Well, let me put it that another way. We made a SALT agreement with the Russians. Each side, both the Russians and us, put out various unilateral statements as to what we considered it to mean, so that there would be no misunderstanding by each side in the event that we decided it was not related.
We have already had in the protocol a statement from the North Vietnamese that it doesn't constitute recognition.
That's right. The protocol said, but the point that I make is this. That we will make a unilateral statement to the effect that we do not interpret this agreement to mean that there are two South Vietnams. We interpret this statement to mean, this agreement to mean, that there's only one government of South Vietnam, period, and that's the government of GVN. That's what we would say. That whatever he gets on, he does his best on the brief.
I may be able to get it deleted altogether. It depends what else.
We've got to try, buddy, but it depends on what else. But in any event, we will do that, and incidentally, we're also going to make a unilateral statement to the effect that that this is not under any circumstances as far as that commission on reconciliation, it is not a government. It is not a government. Now it cannot become a government. It in no way infringes upon the sovereignty of.
Very helpful for us if these three words submitting to the
Senate. Well, they'll interpret it, Mr. Ambassador, their way. What is more important is how we interpret it, not because that's, the communists are going to interpret it.
I've explained to Mr. Sukiyaki and Mr. President what the actual negotiating situation is. They want to withdraw Article 8C, which is the one on the political prisoners. We have to give ground on some of the three remaining issues. We cannot both demand the declaration of 8C.
Well, that's the one thing you've got to insist on. You can't let them have that political prisoners now. I mean, you've got to keep those political prisoners in prison, right? That's a must. So you can't get ground on that. So I'd rather get ground on some of this verbiage than on that issue. That's the point. And that's been a hard one.
It's impossible, in my judgment. I've gone through this with them now. It is impossible to get the word three components changed and also get in what they want about protection of their territory. Oh, yes. Mr. Duke admits it has no practical significance.
Well, the point is, we can interpret it, and I'm going to interpret it myself in my own public statement as soon as this agreement is signed. There'll be no doubt about it.
Yes, it has another practical argument.
Judgment, and I'm talking about months. We're talking about weeks. I did not get to liberty, but Laird, who was a farmer member of the Appropriations Committee, said that I had overstated when I said it would be 2 weeks. He said the committees will organize on the 5th. Congress meets on the 3rd. Committees are organized on the 5th. And they put this in to give it probably a high priority rule in the House and the Senate. And we're talking about the 10th. We can't let this happen, though. You're not going to let it happen. You can't let it happen. At least that's our job. And you must speak just as Dr. Kissinger speaks to me, quite frankly. I must speak very frankly to your president. That right now, he must not break the American alliance.
Mr. President, there's another point. We cannot negotiate with them. The May 8th agreement is a separate deal because we don't have the realistic threat that we'll continue bombing if they don't agree to it. I mean, that would...
In May 8th, you see, in May 8th, they know that we were going to continue bombing, which we did for months. But now, they know very well that the Congress is just sitting there ready to chop it off.
So they are going to demand that we cut off aid.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll, and well, then we have no protection for Laos and Cambodia.
Well,
no
in any event, I want to make sure that if my guest is there, you bring me one of the special complaint kind of a little pin for the Laos before the league. I've got to go down and work on budget. Step back for 1 minute.
Yes, sir, I do, although I did tell Bob that I think he goes in peaks and valleys, which is a classic case of this problem. And he's now in much better shape.
Second point, I was glad he got a chance to see Casey. Now we're putting Casey in. I'm going to keep him below the surface for about 5 months. I'm going to study it all out. You trust Graham Martin pretty well. They tell me he's one of the few that was on our side.
Yes, I do trust him.
He's definitely in the deputy administrator. Deputy administration of a Concord job. Does he know how the bodies are buried?
I'm sure he does. Yes, he does.
Would you trust him?
Yes.
In case you need somebody to trust, I understand. I don't know when we want to do this, but I'm going to let Casey can be the deputy, you see.
Well, he'd be
a deputy. Total confidence. I'm going to have you must not under any circumstances let Henry know. The date's June 1st. So don't let him know. We've got to, I can't blame Dr. Rogers, but that's all worked out. All worked out. But in the meantime, the Casey thing, the operations, I get ready so that we can. But you can't go right in and get out that many players to replace people worse. But we've got it all set. Casey is the man. But I want to build him up as a great economic guy, and he's going to step around. If you don't have confidence and courage,
I've had some.
He'd like to be the junk guy over there, but I don't.
I've had some real bum reports from
all right.
Walters on his Brazil time. He said he's very
left.